seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back in for another edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you here on the afternoon drive. Plenty to get into, local and national. Big focus today on the world of basketball. How about last night? What a fun game. Made the trip to Monroe for the Emory High School boys basketball game. If you missed that at all, you missed a thriller. Senior Riggs Griffin putting in a buzzer beater to give Emory their first region win. That's a tough place to go out and get a victory as well. Monroe, South Sevier High? That's tough. You can get that full write-up right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. We'll also give you the recap coming up in just a bit. Also, we'll take a look at the rest of the high school scene. It's a big night. Final games of the regular season. Well, final game, I should say, for the Emory Lady Spartans as they take on the Grand Red Devils in Moab. And then we have Carbon at home tonight taking on San Juan. But the Lady Dinos will not wrap up the season until tomorrow as they have a makeup game with the Grand Red Devils. But here's what we have happening locally in town tonight. In fact, at 5 o'clock, I'm going to send you off to the BDAC where Sonny Buscarini and Travis Anderson will be standing by to bring you USU Eastern women's basketball, second conference game of the season. And we have a doubleheader. After that, I'll join Travis in the broadcast booth for the men's contest. That'll begin at 7 o'clock tonight. So two USU Eastern basketball games on the way. So we have plenty in the realm of local sports to get into. To preview the girls' game, we'll catch up with Coach Morgan Warburton-Nelson, the assistant coach for the women's squad. She's going to join us a little bit later on in the show down the road. We'll talk to her over the phone. We'll also talk NBA basketball. No Utah Jazz tonight. They'll return tomorrow to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. But the Jazz are off to their best start in franchise history, 20-5. And we're only playing 72 games this year. Don't forget about that. So we're not that far off from the midway point. And if you don't believe that this team is legit, you're wrong. You can't play 26, 25 games. It's a large enough sample size. And there have been pundits going around nationally talking about the strength of schedule. I don't care about that. You see NBA teams upset regularly. I mean, it happens. I mean, the Lakers have the second best record in the West, and they have gone to overtime three consecutive games against the Pistons and the Thunder. I don't want to hear anything about the strength of schedule. I will tell you, I was wrong about Rudy Gobert and the contract that the Jazz gave him. Now, one of the things that I always pride myself on here on the show, if I'm wrong, I'm going to be the first one to tell you. And it was never a bad idea to give Rudy that much money. I never said that. What I did say was it would hamstring this team. It was going to make it very difficult for them to improve. But that's a different take than just saying it's a bad contract. And we see bad contracts all the time. Russell Westbrook and the deal that Houston gave him, that was bad. It wasn't that Rudy wasn't deserving of it. It's just in a small market, hey, you have what you have if you're the Jazz. A lot of money wrapped up to Donovan Mitchell. A lot of money wrapped up to Rudy. A lot of money wrapped up to Bogdanovich and Jordan Clarkson. And guess what? It's working. It's working for the Jazz. We'll talk about Utah, their legitimacy, and how important is it for them to be the one seed. Also, another angle I want to take on this is we're near the midway point. MVP in the NBA is still the most coveted individual award in my mind in professional sports. It's a bigger deal than MVP in the NFL. It's a bigger deal than MVP in baseball. I get up for the Cy Young in baseball, maybe more so than the MVP. I don't know why. Just because pitching is such an intricate part of the game. But in my mind, the most prestigious individual professional award has got to be the NBA MVP. Is Rudy Gobert a legitimate candidate? I say yes. I think he's been one of the top five best players in the league. The Jazz have played 25 games. Rudy has started 25 games. He's got the highest efficiency rate on the team. And when he signed the deal, I thought in order for it to make sense, Rudy had to average 15 and 15. He's close. He's at 13 and 13. Now, I do believe the MVP right now, if I had a vote, it probably has to go to LeBron James. Because he is carrying LA right now without Anthony Davis. He doesn't have his Robin. And I don't know when Anthony Davis is going to be back. The Lakers are going to be very, very cautious with this injury because it's Achilles tendonitis. You don't want to rush a guy that you just gave a 5-year max deal. You don't want to rush him back from an Achilles injury. Right, the Achilles injury in Los Angeles, it's still a touchy subject based on when Kobe went down. It was almost 7 years ago now. So AD's not going to come back anytime soon. I'd probably go LeBron. I'd throw some love to Steph Curry, but I think you got to put Rudy Gobert in the conversation. More so than Donovan Mitchell, yes. Because you can affect the game in so many other ways, and that's what Rudy does. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. Speaking of the NBA, the Toronto Raptors, they're going to be playing the remainder of their home games in Tampa. They made this announcement today, citing border restrictions and being mindful of the public safety measures in Toronto. The team will continue to play in Florida. Look, right now they played at Amalie Arena, and things are okay in Tampa. The Buccaneers just won the Super Bowl. The Rays just went to the World Series a little while ago. Raptors spent weeks before the season working with the city of Toronto to try to find a way to get some home games in. And then they eventually had to reverse course and move to the United States. And at the time, the Raptors said they thought they'd be able to get back to Toronto at some point. And that's not going to happen. That became official on Thursday. 2-8, the Raptors have gone 10-5 since that 2-8 start. And they're 6-5 in Florida. They'll have a chance to get to 500 tonight when they travel to meet the Boston Celtics. Let's take a look at some of the other news and notes coming out of the national sports scene. Tampa Bay. Just talking about the Buccaneers. Tom Brady is going to have minor surgery during the offseason on his knee. It was first reported by the Tampa Bay Times. According to ESPN, it's not a recent injury. And after Brady led the Bucs to a victory, he had been planning this months beforehand. So it wasn't anything that happened in the Super Bowl. It wasn't anything that happened in the playoffs at all. It was months beforehand. Wasn't listed on any of the injury reports all season. And looking at it, he did wear a brace on his left knee Wednesday during their boat parade, but that's probably not uncommon. I mean, you got to look at the fact that this guy's 43 years old. Seems like it's going to be very minor, but that is one of the big stories in the national sports front. And it's because there's just not a lot happening on there. Hasn't been any sensational storylines coming out. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Shorter slate tonight. And as I mentioned, the Utah Jazz will take another night off. We have five games in general. Miami will travel to take on Houston at 5:30. That game will be on TNT. We get Toronto at Boston at 5:30. Indiana will travel to meet Detroit at 6. Two nightcap games. It's Orlando at Golden State and then Philadelphia at Portland. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Local sports recap is coming up. We'll talk to Tom Perkins of HoopCityNews.com for an NBA conversation. And then we'll also catch up with Coach Morgan Nelson of the USU Eastern Lady Eagles. That's all straight ahead right here on Drive Time Sports.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We have more local basketball coming up tonight. USU Eastern Eagles move into Game 2 of conference play. Lady Eagles will take on Snow College at 5 p.m. at the BDAC, and then the men will take the court immediately after. Live coverage of the men's contest tonight is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. But the women, again, they're going to tip off at 5 o'clock. We're going to talk about that. USU Eastern looking to move to 2-0 in conference play following a victory on Tuesday over Colorado Northwestern. Joining us right now to talk about that and tonight's game and Saturday's game, which will take USU Eastern on the road to Twin Falls, we have assistant head coach Morgan Warburton Nelson. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you again.
Yeah, I love it. We're grateful for the coverage and excited about what we're talking about today.
Yeah, it is an exciting night. I mean, the second conference game of the season against Snow College. You and I were talking. Here we are, February 11th. It's only the second conference game. Still taking some adjustments, right? Typically, we're gearing up for the conference tournament around this point in time. But, Coach, conference opened up on Tuesday. It was a fairly dominant performance for the girls. Kind of took over midway through that second quarter and just kind of rolled. That's following two losses to Casper. So how happy were you with the way the girls responded to those two losses?
I'm really, really happy. I mean, we went in and played the eighth ranked team in the country last week and held our own the first night and then just didn't bounce back as well the second. But it was an eye-opener for our kids to realize that, you know, conference, we have three games in a row. You know, the following week, you got to wake up and not be tired and not, you know, worry about the game ahead of you, just the one that's in front of you, I guess. One game at a time type of mentality. And the response they had on Tuesday night was great. I think we executed the way we needed to. And defensively, we had certain goals and we met all of them, which was nice to see.
You talk about meeting some of those defensive goals. Obviously, the competition level took a big climb when you see Casper, who's a top 10 team in the country, back-to-back days. One of those games, close. I know there were some nuances in the second contest, but back-to-back losses. Nonetheless, Coach, when you look at what went down in those two games, where was the biggest holes defensively, allowing 70-plus points in two games?
For Casper?
Yeah, against Casper.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I have to give him credit. They have five kids specifically that are just really, really good players. That's probably the best Casper team I've seen in the 6 years me and Chelsea have played against him. But yeah, they just, if you mess up on anything, they capitalize. That's why they're so good, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're not in, like, the final four in the national tournament by the end of the year. So our girls kind of realized, too, like, hey, you can't take a possession off. Not that they do, but it's having an urgency every single possession, especially with a team like that, that no matter, like, if you don't do something right, they'll counter it and they'll go score it. So I think that was a big eye-opener for us. You know, we actually got rebounded them 2 days in a row, which is a huge deal, even though we still lost, because they're big, powerful players, and we kept them off the boards, which is really good to see for our young team.
Coach, you mentioned not being able to take a playoff, and this is a team that has so much youth to it. I mean, you guys are just oozing with talent, but again, we're talking about three sophomores. I mean, that's it. So when you play a non-conference schedule, and there's so many different variables that go into it, but playing a non-conference schedule where you're constantly up 60, 70 points, does it create a false sense of urgency for these freshmen who were probably the best players on their team in high school?
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult. That's why, you know, when we had those three games in a row with Community Christian College, it was good for us in a sense to practice some other things, but, you know, going into Casper, like we've been talking about, really opened their eyes, because you can't take a possession off in any game. You got to treat every team the same, and I think they realized no matter what, like, we have to do our job defensively, and these freshmen just need to settle in. They're pretty nervous at times, and hopefully that happens quickly. They mature in that aspect quickly. You know, we're going to miss shots, we're going to make mistakes, but it's how they respond. And I feel like most of the time they respond positively, but the confidence issue is there a little bit with some of our younger kids, especially our foreigners, just trying to get used to the game here in the States.
Yeah, going back to previous conversations that you and I have had over the last couple of years, I know the goal is always to get these sophomore or these freshmen to play like sophomores by the time you hit January. Well, come January, we weren't even playing this year. So that's just a different, again, that's another difficulty.
Yeah, and that's the thing that me and Chelsea are trying not to press as coaches, you know, like, oh my gosh, we should already be right here. We should already be doing that. But then again, you got to remember, like you said, like, they're just barely getting into this. Usually by now, you know who your team is. We're not exactly sure. Like, we know how good they are. But we don't know how they're going to respond in every situation because we haven't had that many games. For the most part, they responded positively and never quit and have come back into games and won and come back in games and gave themselves an opportunity to win. So those are all good signs. But like you said, it's it's them maturing mentally and just being able to handle it back-to-back games, especially in this league. So we'll see what they're made of tonight, and then to be able to turn right back around and go to Twin Falls and play CSI. I mean, it's a tough week for us, but it's it's a challenge, and this is what we've been waiting for, our games. So we're excited for that.
Yeah, you mentioned having to play again on Saturday, and we don't want to look past tonight's game against Snow College, but still, you have conference games Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. That, too, is out of the norm. And I know that as far as the non-conference schedule is concerned, you try to strategically place games to prepare you to win three in 3 days or two in 2 days to win the conference championship. Ultimately, that's the goal at the end of the season. So, Coach, when you look at the way the schedule is set up, I guess in a sense it's probably a good thing knowing what you have to do to win the conference at the end of the year.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, all of the teams are in the same, you know, boat. We're all doing the same thing, I think, the first week because they're trying to make sure we get all our games in before that April tournament. So, yeah, it's just going to come down to leadership. I think Caselyn and Kinley have really put the team on their back a little bit the last few weeks, trying to show them, like, hey, be confident. You know, we're just as good as anybody we face. It's if we show up and believe it. And it's not that these freshmen don't believe they're good. They just, it's like you said, like, we usually have this preseason of 2 to 3 months of games to figure it all out before we jump right into conference. So it'll be interesting. I think everyone's kind of fighting these battles. We have the youngest team, I think, in the league, but we also have one of the most talented, I think, across the board to compete. It's just, it's up to the kids, and we always tell them that. You know, you have everything you need. You know, you're prepared for the game. It's up to you to just grow up and mature quickly, especially this year.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Morgan Nelson, again, of the USU Eastern women's basketball team. Tonight, USU Eastern takes on Snow College. And, Coach, it's a big game. When you look at the talent that goes throughout the conference, I mean, I would assume that we're talking about one of the top four teams in Snow College in the conference. I think it's a fair assumption, even though we have a very small sample size. And it gives you guys an opportunity to protect home court and get a pretty quality win.
Yeah, I mean, Snow's always, you know, he's a really good coach. He's very disciplined. His girls don't allow you to just score easily. You have to really share the ball and make good choices. And, yeah, I mean, defensively, they're just a little bit longer, and they communicate well, and they do all the little things. So it's going to be a real test for us tonight that way. I also think they'll have some problems with us on the other end offensively with us. So I think, you know, this year is going to be a little different than what we had last year. It's going to probably go down to the wire a lot more with all these teams. I don't see one team standing out more than the other right now, if I'm being completely honest. But this week, the next two games will tell to kind of give us all an idea of what we're looking at. But, yeah, Snow College, that's on our radar tonight. We're hopefully going to protect our home court, like you said, and get a win and move forward with Saturday's game.
And one of the things that stood out to me, Coach, if you go back to their first conference game just the other night, they 25 assists on 35 made shots. I mean, I didn't get to watch the game, but the first thing I always look at when I look at a box score, it's assist-to-turnover ratio. And if you have 25 assists on 35 shots, you're doing something right offensively. Great ball movement, and they obviously took care of the basketball.
Yeah, you know, we've put a lot of emphasis on that. We keep telling them not one of you will win the basketball game for this team. You know, like, we can't have that mentality. We should all want to win the basketball game and have that outlook, but at the same time, like, it's going to take every single one of us, the 12 kids we have on our roster, all can play and compete in this level and at this conference. But, you know, we really talk about next pass mentality. Let's get a good shot. You know, if you're open, take it, have confidence, that sort of thing. But I was really proud of that. You know, they really listened to what Chelsea was saying, especially when we were struggling earlier and not making layups and stuff. So she, you know, she really made it a point to slow it down just a little bit to get them into their system and to kind of work the ball around and use the clock a little bit more. And then we ended up with some good shots and started making them. So I think that's what helped us.
Coach, as you gear up for tonight's game, and again, just playing on Tuesday, what was practice like yesterday? Is it a typical practice, or do you guys kind of tone things down knowing that you get one day off in between three games?
We toned it down quite a bit. I mean, there's only so much you can do. We did a lot of walkthroughs and just talking and, you know, and spoke about what Snow's really good at and what we need to take away from them and that sort of thing. But majority of it was what can we control? And if we do the little things that we've always talked about and check those boxes off at the end of the game, we usually will win that game. So yeah, it was a little more low-key because you're trying to, you know, rest kids and make sure they're ready to go for game day.
As far as the injury front is concerned, Coach, anything big popping up? I know you and I talked off of the cuff about Caselyn and her kind of tweaking an ankle and missing the game against Casper, the second game. But with that being said, is it a clean bill of health for this team outside of that?
Yeah, hopefully. You know, we'll see a couple kids. We had one with a a concussion last week with Casper, which is a big deal for us. She's a good shooter and a good player off the bench. And then we'll see how Kaya's doing. I think she'll be able to play today, but luckily we have some tough kids that don't want to sit. Sometimes that's not good either because they don't tell you that they're hurt and then it gets worse. But I think I'd rather have that than kids wanting to just sit out and use an injury. So we don't have that. Either way, we're confident in who will be playing today, whether it's our full squad or a couple have to sit out. I mean, it's better to be safe and make sure they're ready to go the rest of the season.
No doubt, no doubt. And have you guys kind of found the number as far as how deep the rotation is early going on in conference that you guys feel comfortable with?
Yeah. I mean, we actually, it was funny, we talked about this the other day. I feel confident with anybody on the floor, to be honest with you, 1 through 12. But it depends on the matchup, too. Like, if they're really big, you know, we have to kind of mix things up. If they're smaller, then we can do a lot more. And usually, you know, our team, when we size up to other teams, like, we're the bigger team. So it's in our benefit that way. But, you know, it's good to feel that way. I don't really lose confidence at all when we sub in. So that's also a good sign, especially with this young team.
Well, Coach, I always look forward to the conversations, looking forward to the game tonight. Thank you again for taking out the time for a phone call, and we'll see you at the BDAC.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jordan.
Always fun to talk some USU Eastern basketball here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break one more time. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of the show when we return on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're going to talk more NBA basketball. We'll get into the local sports scene coming up in just a bit. We have doubleheader action coming up tonight here on KOAL as the junior college basketball season continues. But a lot is happening in the NBA, and sometimes I think in the middle of the year or the middle of the season, and that's typically what February is, we start taking things for granted. Well, you can't do that this year because we're only playing 72 games, and the Utah Jazz have gotten off to their hottest start in franchise history at 20-5. This was a team that was 4-4 at one time. We're going to talk about that and more right now with Tom Perkins of HoopCityNews.com. Kind enough to join us over the phone, Tom. Thank you again for the conversation. Looking forward to it.
Yes, I'm always looking forward to this conversation because there's so much to talk about, different nuances, and all that kind of thing. It's really a fun thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. And as I just mentioned a moment ago, we're seeing a different beast in the Utah Jazz right now. And their storylines at the beginning of the season, New York was fun, Cleveland was fun, but you know it's unsustainable. And here was a Jazz team that was sitting at 4-4, and I was seeing some obvious flaws within this squad. Can they score enough points offensively? I know what Quinn Snyder's teams can bring to the table on the defensive end. We know this. Okay, and they've been great in that realm, giving up just over 105 points per game. But can they score enough? Well, the answer to that question is yes, they can score enough. And they just seem to be getting better and better. And when you look at Jordan Clarkson and what he's bringing off of the bench, and we've seen Bojan Bogdanović start to improve his offensive efficiency and output, this is a team that is legitimate. The 20-5 mark, when you get to 25 games and you have a record, a winning percentage of 800, you're doing something right. I mean, this team is legit. There's no question about that.
Without a doubt. And, you know, Rudy Gobert has really stepped up to be a real legitimate big man. And of course, we know about the young guys. You know, Mitchell is just rocking it, along with Bogdanović, who would have really helped them last year if he was on the roster. But so, yeah, this is a solid team, and they've had some really great wins. I mean, the past five games, they're 5-0, and the last game they lost was to the Nuggets, which is a very legitimate team, the Nuggets. But, you know, they've beaten the Hawks, they've beaten the Hornets, Pacers, and Celtics. And tonight is a nice test with the Bucks.
Tomorrow night. Yep.
Yeah, tomorrow night is a nice test with the Bucks. But, yeah, it's this is a very, very solid team. And whoever they get beaten by, it's a real test for that team.
Yeah, and I've got to come out and say, look, I'm never afraid to admit when I was wrong. And when Utah signed Rudy Gobert to a very lucrative deal, I wasn't the biggest fan of it. I understand what Rudy could bring to the table. However, I thought in order for him in order for Utah to justify giving him that amount of money with the way the game is going, Rudy had to be a 15-15 guy. And he's close to those numbers. He's averaging over 13 points, over 13 rebounds per game, another three blocks. And if you look at the PER, which I'm a big fan of the player efficiency rate, I think that statistic is very telling once you get a large enough sample size. And with Rudy, we have a large enough sample size. He's played every single game for this team up to this point in time, and he leads Utah as far as efficiency rate is concerned. So while I wasn't a fan of the big money that they gave Rudy, if he continues down this path, and I know we'll get into the MVP conversation in just a moment, you have to put him in the top five of that MVP conversation. There's no question.
Without a doubt, because he's really shown himself this year. Also, I never thought it was a bad contract, because when you have a big guy that is that talented and he's only 28, you better nail him down. You better nail him down, because if they would not have nailed him down to the max, they would have had all kind of distraction all year long about people talking him about him going to this team, that team, the other team, Lakers, this, that, and the other. But now he's solidly in Utah for sure.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference between a bad contract and a contract that can hamstring a team. For instance, you look at Washington. At the time that they gave John Wall that contract, it wasn't horrible. I mean, here you are trying to keep John Wall, an all-star point guard, in his hometown, right? In his homegrown town.
Right.
And it's the same conversation with Bradley Beal. Now, the Wizards gave out two contracts, and it made it very difficult for them to build around those two. And then John Wall suffers an injury. And I'm not comparing the two situations. I'm just saying, I don't fault Utah for giving that deal. However, when you are a quote-unquote small market or smaller market, and you hand out two big, big paydays, and you had to pay Donovan Mitchell, you know, with Bogdanovich's deal and Jordan Clarkson's extension, it had to work for Utah because it gave them very little room to maneuver.
Yeah, yeah, it really gave them almost no room. And so, therefore, that was very, very questionable, without a doubt.
Let's talk about the MVP race and the way things are shaping up. I mentioned that Rudy Gobert has to be in the top five. There is no question about it. Hands down, this guy is a top five player in the game right now. I mean, you can't just look at statistics. You have to watch the game. And I'm not just saying that for Jazz fans as lip service. I mean, the fact is, this guy's been a top five player. However, there's another guy in the Western Conference by the name of LeBron James and another guy by the name of Steph Curry. And so if I'm putting together an MVP ballot right now, I'd be hard-pressed to put anyone. Maybe Joel Embiid, maybe. I think Embiid probably deserves some run as well as a top three player. But outside of that, to me, it's between LeBron and Steph Curry. What Curry has done is incredible. And when you look at what LeBron has done at his age, Tom, best player in the NBA right now, and he's doing it without his Robin and Anthony Davis, who may be out for a little while.
Yes, he might be. And just caution Laker fans, it's a stretched Achilles. And that's a very, complicated injury that you really have to give that some time to heal, because from a stretch it goes to a tear and then that's it. But you're right. I think that LeBron has really shown himself to lead this team. You know, I mean, they've won six in a row and I think three overtimes in a row. And that's a heavy burden on a guy 36 years old. And of course, Steph Curry is... will go down in history as one of the best guards ever, because he can shoot like none other. He actually gave birth to Damian Lillard, okay?
Yeah, I mean, he's been fantastic. And at times it's been, I felt bad for Steph Curry at times on this Golden State team. I mean, you go back a couple of nights ago, Draymond Green shot with 7 seconds left from the mid-stripe line. I mean, there's been some boneheaded plays in this team. It's a little bit different with no Kevin Durant, of course, Klay Thompson being down. I think you have to consider the nuances there. In my mind, I'd probably have him at number two right now. But you mentioned LeBron and what the Lakers have done and what he's done at the age of 36. Three straight overtime games, and it's not as if these overtime games have been to world beaters. It was an overtime game against Detroit, back-to-back overtime games against Oklahoma City. It was the first time since 1991 that the Lakers played in three consecutive overtime games, and they got victories in all three of those. Is that alarming to you, Tom, or is this a team that is simply built for June, built for May, not really focused on what's happening in February and just playing it safe, knowing that you have, I don't want to say aging veterans, but older guys in Marc Gasol and LeBron James and Wesley Matthews. And these, Wesley Matthews is a guy that's had some big injury questions. Same thing with Marc Gasol. So when you look at it, is it more of a pace, a marathon, not a sprint for this team?
Yeah, it probably is. And they're doing a lot of load management anyway. You know, if they get some big leads, you know, going into the fourth quarter, the middle of the fourth quarter, LeBron's out of there. So you can count on that because, they've got to go ahead and rest him whenever they can possibly rest him. So, yeah, it's more about load management, and it's a marathon. And they know that they need to be healthy, strong, and complete coming to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And to me, this is still the odds-on favorite squad to win it all. And I believe they are the best team in the NBA. One of the things we were talking about on the show yesterday, and I'm going to go back to it, the Jazz have the one seed right now, half game better than the Lakers, one up on the loss column. I don't know if that stands, but how important is that for Utah? I mean, the fact that you would not have to get past both LA teams if Utah was to remain the one. Now, you still would have to get through Denver. I believe Denver is going to be in that 4 or 5 spot, and then an LA team. And I know we're jumping way ahead, but for Utah to keep both of those LA teams in that 2 to 3 range, that's important for Utah. More important for the Jazz than it is the Lakers or the Clippers, because home court's irrelevant when those two teams play.
Without a doubt. I mean, you know, Utah, they don't have to maintain this particular lead. They can come to the playoffs being number 3, and they could still be very, very effective. So it's not a must thing that they are there, but it's a good thing. And it's a good thing for their psyche and, you know, psychologically speaking, to have that lead. So if they can maintain it, fantastic for them. If they can't, they're still going to go ahead and perform.
Yeah, but I just don't think you want to go through both LA teams. I mean, that's a gauntlet. If you have to beat both the Lakers and the Clippers 8 times in 14 games, that's tough to do. I don't know if anyone could do that in the league.
Well, you know, yeah, saying it the way you said, that's a tough gig. On the other hand, teams, and certainly individual players, they look at games individually. They, one by one, they look at games. So in other words, you know, like if they, let's say, go against the Lakers and they win the first game, oh, we've got 7 more games to go against these L.A. teams. That's not the way the Utah Jazz look at it. They just say, okay, you've got one game. Let's go ahead and get the next one. These guys, the mentality of these players is pretty high when it comes to understanding what you need to phase out and what you need to keep in the front of your mind. It all depends on how you're playing, if you're gelling, the style is right, if you're losing games properly. Like, you know, they don't need to be playing anybody where they get blown out by 38 points, and that's not happening to them. So I'm not so sure it's going to be a problem having them face both teams. And just imagine, just think about this. Let's say they have to play the Clippers first and they win those 4 games. And now they have to win play the Lakers to get to the finals. Well, if they beat the Clippers, what an added punch that would be in their psyche. We beat the Clippers. We're ready for anybody.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a good point. Tom, speaking of one game at a time, let's move on to a pretty pressing topic. That's the NBA All-Star Game, and a lot of players come out that have voiced frustration about the idea that the league wants to play an All-Star Game, and I, for one, I agree with the players for a number of reasons. One being, we've had all these precautions with COVID. We've had so many games delayed and postponed because of COVID. If you look at the NBA standings right now, the second half of the season, which the NBA has not released the schedule for yet, you have some teams that are really going to have to play makeup. I mean, it's just the way it's going to work. I know the Wizards are finally getting their game count back up already to 22 games, still behind the remainder of the league. I mean, this has been a problem throughout the entire season. It seems silly to me that the league would force an All-Star game when you're going to bring in very little revenue to begin with, knowing that it could lead to postponements beyond the All-Star game. We still don't know how COVID reacts, right? And we don't know what could happen in quote, a bubble for an all-star game that means next to nothing. On top of that, we're talking about the Lakers and load management. Well, the reason we're talking about the Lakers and load management is because this team literally won an NBA championship in October. That was 4 months ago. They were literally NBA champions 4 months ago. Here we are talking about them at 20-6 now. Same thing could be said for the Miami Heat, a team that has really struggled to stay healthy. They're four games under 500 in the Eastern Conference. In my mind, it just seems preposterous to even consider the idea of playing an All-Star game.
So, yeah, I think you're right, though, because just 71 days between the end of last season and the beginning of this one, that's a tough thing to ask for players. I mean, they're high-caliber players, high-caliber athletes. But I'll tell you what, I will give the league high marks for. They absolutely forbid any players to have a crowd or go to a party for the Super Bowl. They absolutely disallowed that. And that's staying ahead of it.
That's staying ahead of it, but the players have to obey those rules. I mean, we've seen instances where players haven't, a la Lou Williams, right? So the NBA can put all the precautions they want in. If the players aren't going to obey by it, it doesn't matter.
Right, right. So, but the thing is, from what I gather, they had a total thumb on all of that. They had control of that, the league, so that the players knew that, listen, if you get out of line, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
How many players will opt out of an All-Star game?
Oh, I don't think there'll be a mass opting out, but I mean, you could see that a guy like LeBron can afford it. In other words, how many players? The question should be, how many players can afford to opt out? There's a few.
Yeah,
can afford to do that. There's a few that cannot afford to do that.
Tom Perkins again of HoopCityNews.com joining us to talk some of the latest topics in the NBA. Tom, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Okay, well, my website, of course, is HoopCityNews.com, and I write about everything NBA, even European basketball, and it's kind of a fun reading, and we've read now in 23 countries, and it's growing by leaps and bounds every month. So I would recommend that you get to HoopCityNews.com, start reading, and I think you'll have a very good time with some of the pages I have there. I have, you know, pages on salary, pages on player movement, rumors, and all that stuff.
That's good stuff. Tom Perkins, again, a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time, Tom. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
We're going to break for just a moment. We don't have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to move over to the local side of things. Again, doubleheader action coming up tonight. USU Eastern men and women's basketball. We'll talk to Coach Morgan Warburton Nelson. That's coming up next when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
Look and listen, baby, that's my philosophy.
Final couple of minutes here on Drive Time Sports. Just heard from Coach Morgan Nelson of the USU Eastern Lady Eagles. They're getting set to tip off right now with Snow College. It'll be the first of three meetings this conference season between the two squads. Love the conversation with Coach Warburton Nelson as well, because the nuances to the junior college basketball season, they're just so different than anything we've seen before. And we have three conference games this week. We've never had that before. A Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And that's three games in a five-day span. You just don't see that type of nuance. And then you look at the seven non-conference games. It really is hard to forget, unless you're really into junior college basketball, that it's the longest collegiate season there is. College basketball, D1 college basketball, D1 college football, name any sport, doesn't matter. Junior college basketball is literally the longest, and they've condensed that. They've shortened it so much. that, I think it's really affected some teams, and I'm curious to see how USU Eastern continues to adapt with such a young squad. So, excellent conversation. We're going to get you out to the BDAC in just a moment. Again, Sonny Buscarini and Travis Anderson are standing by. You can also listen to tonight's game at CastleCountryRadio.com or watch at USUEasternAthletics.com. Until tomorrow, we'll see you tonight. See you tonight for the men's contest. Be safe. I am out.